Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Collective podcast. It's your host, J Dub. This is definitely my favorite episode of the year, or pretty close up there, which is post NFL draft, kind of draft pick reactions. Just what are the great landing spots? What do the mocks say? And what's our first take, right? These guys haven't been in the mini camps yet. We haven't gotten the full kind of breakdown of depth charts and what we're hearing, but you can get our initial reaction on where they land, the draft capital, and all that sorts of good stuff. So I'll get to that on the flip side.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now.
Okay, what a great draft. Talked about this. Heading into the draft, we knew it was going to be good, particularly in the first round, and it did not disappoint. Sticks. First round quarterbacks in the first 12 selections. That's an all-time record. In those selections, you also had three receivers selected, and then tight end went 13. So all in all, 10 offensive skill position picks in the first 13 selections, which really is what we're here to talk about, is how flush the draft in. I have to say the second round was a little disappointing. Had a lot less talent selected from a fantasy perspective. So some good players there. We saw our first running back come off the board there with Jonathan Brooks. Lots of more good receivers. I mean, there's some really good kind of first round quality talent. They went in the second round. Guys like Ladd McConkey, Brian, or sorry, not Brian Thomas Jr., Keon Coleman. Those guys are first round picks in most drafts. Maybe not Ladd McConkey. I wasn't as high as him, but a lot of people were very high on him. I think Keon Coleman definitely is a first round pick in most drafts. When he went first pick of the second round, it's pretty high. And there's definitely a lot of good talented players that fell. Donovan Mitchell or Addie Mitchell, however people want to pronounce his name, fell mid to late second round. Second round was a little wasn't as fruitful, and I'd say the third round was even less. Guys like Troy Franklin, who I think a lot of people thought was a first round talent, certainly would be a second round pick, end up lasting till I believe the first pick or second pick of the fourth round. It was an interesting draft, to say the least. Let me jump to the top, though. I'm going to go through who I have. I'm going to do roughly the first 20-ish, maybe 23, 24, 25 players on my board as we speak. Again, some of this is in flux. A couple caveats here. This would be a super flex league, so quarterbacks have ultimate value. And I'm thinking through this in a dynasty format. So if you wanted redraft ranking, this is not it. But if you want to think about where are these players in the relatively near future, next 2 to 3, 4 years max, who do you want and who's going to be most valuable? So with that said, first pick, I think it should be pretty easy for most people, which is Caleb Williams. He certainly walks in as a top quarterback selected, top 2, 3, 4 picks. He walks in arguably the deepest talent pool we've ever seen, particularly given that they took another receiver at number 9, Adunzu. So you pair him with Cole Kmet, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and some decent pass catching talent in the backfield. You've got a pretty good situation there. I think the one question I would still have there is the system going to be right? Can Caleb Williams come in and adapt to the NFL's the game, the speed of the game? And most importantly, is the offensive line going to keep him upright? Can they devise a scheme that keeps him mobile and accentuating his strengths? But he's a clear number one overall rookie pick. And I think he's top 3 or 4 in most formats, even in redraft leagues. I do think he's likely a top 10 fantasy quarterback in terms of productivity this year, given his mobility, his pass catching weapons. So he's definitely up there, even in redraft leagues. But in a dynasty super flex format, he's certainly number one. And then number two is where this would diverge. I've got Jaden Daniels, number two, not nearly as good a situation. So he's clearly a tier down than Caleb Williams. Not nearly as good a situation in terms of talent around him, but they've got good talent, some good receivers, decent running backs who can receive, and he's very mobile. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if he outperformed Williams in fantasy this year. So certainly high, mid kind of top 10 quarterback one upside due to his mobility. And then third, I've got Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver selected by the Arizona Cardinals. I think Harrison may be number one on redraft, non-dynasty formats. I have some questions. I really like him. He's going to be great. I'm not saying he won't. Son of former Hall of Fame receiver. He's bigger, faster than his dad was. I think Kyle Murray is decent. And he walks into a situation where he's going to get a ton of targets. It's essentially him and Trey McBride are the, and you've got Michael Wilson and a few other ancillary pieces, but really those are the two guys that are going to get the vast majority of targets. So he walks into a wonderful situation fantasy-wise. But my number four pick would be Malik Nabers. And if they'd switched landing spot, I would have Nabers at three. But because he landed with the Giants, I just don't see him outperforming Harrison. But I like Nabers. He's very explosive. He's going to be a really good player. He actually potentially saves Daniel Jones. He may elevate their team from a productivity standpoint in offense, but we'll have to see. But I like his potential the next 3 or 4 years. I liken him a little bit to a Tyreek Hill type. He's got that kind of explosive, quick twitch, game bending kind of ability. So that's number four. Number five, I've got Drake May, New England Patriots quarterback. Again, this is a super flex dynasty format. I think he's gonna need a year to grow into the pro game. I suspect he will start games, but he won't start the season as a starter with Jacoby Brissett likely kind of handling those duties to begin with. But he's got all the talent in the world to be a good player. And I think this is the right place to take him in a super flex league. If you're in a redraft or a dynasty non-super flex, I think May falls out of the top 10, maybe even top 15. Quite frankly, because I think it's going to take him a couple years to get to. I think that the Patriots need to build their weapons around him, get the sort of next era going. He needs to build up to it. That's my number five. Number six, I got Romeo Dunzu, former University of Washington receiver. Chicago took him with the ninth pick. I like him above Worthy and Keon Coleman, some of these other guys that we're going to talk about that are walking into potential wide receiver one situations. Mostly because of draft capital. And I think the situation, you've got two receivers, I think both DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, their contracts are up, I believe, after this next coming year. They'll probably re-sign DJ Moore. But Adunzu's got really high-end upside here paired with Caleb Williams, and you got to go with that. In a redraft league, obviously, Adunzu's going to fall below Xavier Worthy and even a Keenan Coleman, which gets me to my seventh pick. I've got Xavier Worthy at number seven, Chiefs. He's a really good fit for what they need. He fits a clear gap they have in terms of stretching the field, making plays. And everyone says, hey, Worthy's undersized, but he's a speedster. You know, he can take the top off the defense. You look at his productivity. He was catching the ball, a bunch of different routes. He was heavily utilized all 3 years at Texas. So this is a really good fit. And I actually think he could end up being one of the surprising kind of first-year studs. I think he's got a chance to be great for the next several years playing with Mahomes. So I like that spot for Xavier Worthy. He could end up going a pick or two higher. I don't see him falling too much beyond number seven. Next, I've got quarterback JJ McCarthy in a super flex league. He walks into a really wonderful situation. And some people may flip him with May and have McCarthy up at five or six. The reason why I had May higher is I just think May's got much better ceiling. I think May's closer to a Justin Herbert type who could develop pretty quickly into a top 10 fantasy quarterback and produce a pretty good result year in and year out. McCarthy seems like he's got a little bit more time to learn. He may not start day one. I could see Sam Darnold winning that job. He obviously has wonderful weapons in Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, but it may take him a while to develop. And even when he's fully developed, I'm not sure he's even meeting the Kirk Cousins level. So really, I've got May ahead of him because of the higher ceiling, and I've kept McCarthy below because he's got a nice higher floor. He's got a high floor. I don't think he's got a really high ceiling. So number nine, I'm pulling the first running back, Jonathan Brooks, who's far and away the best running back in his class. He went to Carolina. Not the most dynamic offense, but I think we're undervaluing Bryce Young and some of the other things they did in this draft. And we may be overvaluing guys like Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders. You don't spend a second round pick on a player of this talent and not use them. Most NFL coaches will say your first and your second round picks are players you're expecting to play immediately. Might not be stars, but you're expecting them to contribute right off the bat. And Brooks is the most talented of the guys I just mentioned there. He's coming off an ACL. So he'll probably be eased in, but I think he's got somebody who can finish the season as a consistent RB2 producer in that offense. And that's just too juicy to pass up at this point in the auction or in the draft, however you're looking at it. Again, Jonathan Brooks, number nine. And then Number 10, tight end Brock Bowers. Nice pick by Las Vegas. He walks in, I think, is probably the number two target person in that lineup, if you will, behind Devontae Adams. He's very dynamic. He wins in all spaces. So he's going to be that slot, third down, secondary to Devontae Adams receiver that they needed in that system. The only downside is going to be the quarterback. You don't have a high-end kind of consistent quarterback. Although Gardner Minshew really relies on those like quick tight end type players. So could put up really good numbers right out of the gate. I like him as a kind of top five fantasy tight end by year two and potentially very productive even as a rookie. So I got him there. Number 11, I got Keon Coleman. Great spot for the Buffalo, former Florida State player now in Buffalo. He has the potential to be the number one receiver. Everyone's going to talk about Dalton Kincaid and Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir. The reality is, number one receiver in most teams is going to be a wide receiver, somebody who's big, can play out on the outside. And Josh Allen, it's a good fit for him. He's got that confidence in his arm. He's not shy from throwing into coverage against a guy he knows he can go up and get the ball. That's exactly what Keon Coleman's really good at. So, really good fit here. I think he could walk in and be a wide receiver too as a rookie. He certainly has the potential to be a top 15 kind of perennial performer in fantasy the next 4 or 5 years with Josh Allen throwing him the ball. Number 12, I've got this may be a little controversial, but I've got quarterback Bo Nix. Broncos took him with the 12th overall pick. This is where him and J.J. McCarthy, you can split hairs with. I think McCarthy walks into a much better situation. And quite frankly, there might be a little more upside. Bo Nix has worse talent around him. Team is rebuilding. And quite frankly, I'm not sure he's got the same ceiling that McCarthy has. Maybe he has a higher floor, unclear. But I like him. I think he look at his statistics, look at how he played at Oregon. And even back to Auburn, he was a SEC freshman of the year. This guy's performed throughout his college career. Yes, he's a little bit older, but I'm not gonna nix him, pun intended, just because he played really well in the Pac-12 this year in a system that actually mirrors a little bit of what Sean Payton wants to do. I like him here. He could go a spot or two higher in true super flex leagues, especially ones with like larger teams, 14, 16 team leagues. But I also could see him falling a couple spots too. The draft pundits are down on him. 13, I've got wide receiver Xavier Leggett, the former South Carolina product. Seems like a bigger, maybe slightly less physical Deebo Samuel. They work out together in the offseason, both went to University of South Carolina. Yeah, he goes to Carolina at pick number 32, last pick of the first round. You could certainly have Leggett above Nix and potentially Bowers, maybe even Brooks or McCarthy, particularly in redraft leagues. He's going to get a ton of targets. He immediately becomes kind of the big receivers and outside. People are going to hype up Devontae Johnson. I don't see it. I've been disappointed that him. He drops a lot of balls. He's a volume hog. And then you got Adam Thielen, who's getting the end of his usefulness. So I think we'll get to a guy that's going to get a ton of touches. He's the future with Bryce Young. If you have any belief in Bryce Young, I'd be buying Leggett now. Really good pick. I got him number 13, but he could easily go up a couple spots depending on the reports we hear out of camp. At 14, I've got wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr., Jacksonville, number 23 overall pick in the draft. Thomas is probably about the right spot for him, quite frankly. I really like Thomas, but in Jacksonville, at best, he's the number three a target guy is a rookie. They've got Evan Ingram, who led the NFL in a tight end in targets. He had 130 something targets. You got Gabe Davis, you got Christian Kirk. Yeah, so not to say Brian Thomas doesn't have a clear path to being the wide receiver one. I think he does, which is why he goes here. But you're going to be banking on, you're basically waiting for development. He's not going to be the wide receiver one in a rookie in that team versus Leggett or Keon Coleman or Xavier Worthy, who have roughly similar draft capital and they have a lot less competition for targets at the wide receiver role. It's interesting you could compare Dunzu to Thomas. Dunzu is a little bit more accomplished, a little bit higher just profile in general, but there's similar situations. You're locking into teams where they're clearly not going to be the featured guy yet. The difference though between Dunzu at the sixth spot that I had and Thomas at 14 is that Dunzu is the ninth overall pick and Thomas was the 23rd overall pick. The other thing I would say is that the Jacksonville team, those guys are a little bit younger and they've either just invested in them, and aka Evan Ingram's recent contract extension, Gabriel Davis being pulled in, and then Christian Kirk, versus Chicago, where those guys are a little bit towards the end, like a Keenan Allen. But not splitting hairs, just that's my 14th guy. At 15, I've got quarterback Michael Penix. This one's going to be a little bit controversial. I like Penix a lot. He clearly is going to sit for a couple of years, so you can do what you want with that. I think in long-term dynasty formats where you can park a guy, I like this. You think about Atlanta's talent. He's got three teammates that are top of the food chain athletically at tight end, running back, and receiver who are all younger than him. So he's, let's say he sits for 2 years, learns, and then ascends. He's going to be in a pretty good position to succeed. And the probability of him being successful jumps with him sitting. That's a bunch of studies on this. First round picks that sit perform way outperform guys that are forced to play immediately. That said, I don't, it's not a great situation given that he's going to be behind Kirk Cousins, who just signed this huge contract. He's basically locked in for at least 1 year, likely 2 years, potentially more as a starter. So Penix is definitely going to be sitting for a while. It's a weird one. I think this is the most perplexing draft choice in the top 15 as skill position I've seen in definitely a long time. I can't remember a worse example, particularly given the situation. I've seen players taken that you didn't expect to be taken, but Penix is a decent player, likely maybe was drafted a little bit higher than most people expected. But you just paid Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed, $180 million overall on a 4-year contract like a month ago. And he's your stated guy. It just didn't doesn't make sense. Anyhow, 16. I'm going back to wide receiver Ladd McConkey, number 34 overall selection. I don't love McConkey, but he's in a great situation. Clearly, Harbaugh did like him a lot. It's already talked about that in the press conference. He walks in, he could easily get 120, 130 targets as a rookie. And quite frankly, this might be too low for him, particularly in redraft leagues. I think he's probably more of a top 10, top 12 type player. There's just not a lot of competition for targets. Quentin Johnson is more of a straight line, try to win on the outside type player. McConkey is a guy who can play all over, slot, outside. They're going to move him around. He's going to be the guy that Harbaugh and Greg Roman, the offense coordinator, and then Herbert, the quarterback, are going to lean on to make those like crucial kind of first down, third down, red zone plays. I could see McConkey having a much better rookie year than he ever even had in college, quite frankly. So I don't love him, but I think he's landed in a perfect situation. So some more power to him. 17. This is where it starts getting a little bit off. It's more about preference. I personally have a wide receiver, Ricky Purcell, here. He's the 31st pick in the draft, and he'd be the last first rounder to be selected based on this. He's a guy that's not going to play a lot as a rookie. He's more sitting on your bench, or maybe you're waiting for injuries, but he's a guy that could ascend to be wide receiver two, fantasy wide receiver three type of productivity next year. And he's got pretty high-end talent. McConkey never was a kind of featured dominant guy in college. But when he did play, was really impressive. Showed great hands. His athletic testing was off the charts. Played really well in the Senior Bowl and so on. Really like him as a draft pick. It's just going to take a little bit more time for him to develop, given all the talent around there. We got him 17. At 18, I've got Jalen Polk, the wide receiver at University of Washington, went to the New England Patriots. He was a 737th overall pick. This is more about need based. You could have Polk. In a redraft league, you'd have definitely a Polk of Pearsall. You might even have Polk above Brian Thomas Jr. He'd be in that Keon Coleman, he'd be behind, but in that Keon Coleman, Xavier Leggett group of receivers where he's got a great shot at getting 120 plus targets and being a featured kind of wide receiver one for his team and probably a fantasy wide receiver two, wide receiver three at very least. So like that selection. 19, I'm going running back Trey Benson, Arizona. He was a 66 overall pick. So this is the first pick that I'm named outside of Jonathan Brooks. It was the 46th pick that wasn't like early first, second round. And why I've got him here, I really, Trey Benson's very talented. He's a guy that it could push James Conner for touches immediately. And James Conner's a free agent at the end of this year. Trey Benson can easily be the number one guy, strong RB2 heading into the 2025 season. So I think the fact that he's still here at the 19th pick, a really good landing spot, early third round pick, tells a lot about this rookie class. It's deep. So it's very nice to see that. At 20, you could go so many different directions here, but I've got running back Blake Corum to the Rams. Russ and just Rams drafted him formerly from University of Michigan. He's number 83 pick. I think he's a guy who, quite frankly, is similar to Kyren Williams, a little bit beefier. Remember, he's like sub 5'8", and he's like 207, 208 pounds. So he's built like a bowling ball, really good between the tackles, can actually receive decent pass protector. I think he starts the season as a backup to Williams, but he's certainly going to be in the mix week in and week out. And if Williams gets hurt, which he's been hurt both his first two seasons in the league, he's missed multiple games or more both years. I think Corum ascends and is a pretty productive guy. I would be shocked if Corum doesn't start fantasy football games, a couple of them at least this year for teams. And I think he's got potential not to be special, but to be a fantasy productive player for the next 4 or 5 seasons. So he's my number 20 guy. 21, I'm going to wide receiver Adonai Mitchell or Addie Mitchell, a former University of Texas player. Indianapolis took him with the 52nd pick. Quick on this guy, really high ceiling, extremely high ceiling, very good player. Definitely showed some alpha dog. I look at his productivity and limited touches at University of Georgia before he went to Texas. I think he scored 5 touchdowns in 5 straight games as a true freshman. And then last year at Texas, he had a bunch of games where he had less than 40 yards receiving, but he had several that he was very high contributor. And by the end of the season, he was the alpha dog and red zone situations and really dominant players. A lot of boom and bust here, but really high-end talent. There's another guy that kind of had first-round talent. We thought he was going to go to first round, and he slipped. So 22, and I'll call this at 24, 25, but 22, I've got Marshawn Lloyd, running back out of USC. Green Bay selected him with the 88th pick. It's a nice landing spot. Not a lot of potential to push the envelope and be a fantasy relevant immediately behind Josh Jacobs, but he's someone that did very well, could get kind of change of pace time there and ascend if he's good enough and Jacobs gets hurt or just doesn't work out contractually. He could ascend to a starting role in 26 or 27. Effectively, Jacobs' contract is a 4-year deal, but it's like a 1-year option. So you can every year it's a new option for him. So who knows? I'm not counting on that with Marshawn Lloyd, but I think he's enough of a change of pace guy and an ascending offense. And he's talented enough that a good pick here. 23 got Roman Wilson, Pittsburgh. He went to Pittsburgh for Michigan wide receiver. He was the 84th pick in the draft. Decent draft capital, really good, solid all-around player. Some people thought he was a kind of borderline first rounder, definitely high second rounder. He has the chance to ascend and be the number two wide receiver immediately. And the question is, what are you getting there in Pittsburgh? That offense is pretty conservative. But overall, I like him. I like this landing spot. And again, we're now at the 23rd rookie spot. So we're dredging up here. Next, I've got Malachi Corley, New York Jets, took him with the 65th pick. A lot of people comp him to a Debo Samuel type gadget guy, built more a rugged running back, playing receiver. And when I watch the tape, I don't see it, quite frankly, as glaring or as much. But I do think he's a player that is got a lot of potential and could definitely surprise folks. So I've got him at 24. At 25, right now I've got wide receiver Jermaine Burton, who is a third round pick, former University of Alabama, a wide receiver. Bengals took him. So he could be the kind of Tyler, or he is the Tyler Boyd replacement right now. If something happens with T. Higgins, though, he could be a lot more than that, even this season. And certainly he looks like he's the Robin to Ja'Marr Chase come 2025. But here's the other names I would throw out there and think that are in the mix now as we've got the full draft results. Other guys I've got in this 25 to 30 range. I really like Jalen Wright with Miami. He's obviously he's behind both Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert, but he's got very similar talent. Quite frankly, actually, I think he might be more talented. Both those guys were in college. He's fast. He's a really good fit for that system. He's got way more girth. So if Mostert were to be cut in the preseason or get hurt for some reason, I think Jalen Wright's probably the main guy. I think the reason why is Achane is just small. He's much more of a gadget guy. He's really good. But he's not someone I think that they want to put. McDaniel doesn't want to put 15, 20 touches on Achane on a week in, week out basis. So Jalen Wright's in there. I really Troy Franklin going a second pick in the fourth round. Matches up with his college quarterback the last past 2 years. So it's a really nice transition for both of them. It's going to be a security blanket, so to speak. And I think Franklin's probably going to be motivated to show that people really look the other way here and messed up. I like Audric Estime in Denver as well. He's only got to beat out Javonte Williams and Samaje Perine. He's going to start off pretty far back on the depth chart. You just never know there. And then you got Jalen McMillan. He's another Washington receiver. Tampa Bay selected him in the third round, the late third round pick at 92. So that's another one to be mindful of. And then what other ones? I think the other one, it was interesting. I'm a 49er fan, so seeing the Niners use it as a fourth round pick on a really fast, a great size speed ratio guy in Isaac Garendo is interesting. And obviously he walks in at number three, number four in the depth chart. So probably not much fantasy relevance this year. And maybe never. We've seen plenty of draft picks by the Niners, particularly third round guys. Trey Sermon was a complete bust, never really even barely played in the preseason for that matter. Joe Williams, and he just never panned out. Everyone was very excited about him a couple of years ago. He was a third round pick. You just never know. And then they hit on Mitchell in the sixth round a couple of years back. Quarterback Spencer Rattler fell to the, I believe, the fifth round to the Saints. That's a nice pick. He's somebody that's going to be in that 28, 29, 30 rookie pick range. Will Shipley, he's not that far off from productivity and playing time behind Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia. It's a very deep draft, particularly the first 20 to 23, 24 picks. And then there's a lot of more boom or bust guys after that point. This is a draft where you've got players going all the way to 30 that are going to be relevant, kind of rookie players were drafted high enough in terms of draft capital that you should be paying attention to them, that the teams care about them. But certainly the top 17, 18, 19 guys are first or very early second rounders in really good situations to perform where their teams are counting on it and their fan bases are counting on it. And that's really all that matters in fantasy. You're looking for that draft capital with the talent and the opportunity to shine. And we got a lot of that this year. On that note, hope everyone has a great day, a great week ahead, and I'm excited to hear all the news as we get into mini camp and post draft analysis hype.
Before we leave, let me tell y'all a little something. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. I said uptown.